Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true?
They don't think Christianity's true.
They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
Do all religions lead to God? Isn't it arrogant to say that one religion or that your religious viewpoint is the right one? I mean, isn't it enlightened to say that all religions lead to God? I mean, basically, come on, all religions are teaching the same thing, right? You've heard this. Doesn't the coexist bumper sticker have it right? Do you see all those coexist bumper stickers out there? You know, I think they pretty much originated after 9/11. I think that's when they really began to be originated and to come into being, these coexist bumper stickers. And now you see them all over the place. Do they really have it right? Can't we just coexist? Aren't religions teaching the same thing? Let's take a look at that today, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Family Radio Network. You know, I need to start saying it differently. We used to say the AFR Talk Radio Network. Well, now we're on the complete American Family Radio Network, not just the talk side, but the entire side. So we're up to about 200 stations now. So welcome to the new stations out there who haven't gotten cross-examined to this point. What we do here is we present evidence for Christianity. We cross-examine ideas against it. I'm Frank Turek, the host, and our website's crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. You know, we've seen a lot of explosive growth recently in our Facebook pages. We have two Facebook pages, cross-examined, the Facebook page, crossexamined.org, and also Dr. Frank Turek. So if you would like those pages, we've been putting out a number of posts every day. Many of them are video posts. They're very short little videos, normally Q&A videos from college campuses. Or is it campi, plural? I don't know. Anyway, check that out if you would. Like our Facebook pages, crossexamined.org and Dr. Frank Turek, and then you'll get these videos. You can also like our YouTube page. Go to crossexamined.org for more on that. Now let's talk about this issue. Don't all religions lead to the same God, or don't religions, all religions teach the same thing, or don't all religions lead to God? And we're often told about the elephant parable. Have you ever heard of the elephant parable? I'm sure you have. The elephant parable says you have six blind men. They come up to an elephant, and they feel different aspects of the elephant. You know, one feels the ear and says, oh, this is a fan. Another feels the side of the elephant and says, this is a wall. Another feels the tail and says it's a rope. Another grabs the leg and says, oh, this has got to be a tree. Another grabs the trunk and says, no, this thing is a big snake. Finally, one of the blind men grabs the tusk of the elephant and says, this has got to be a spear. And what we're told is that all these different perspectives from each of the blind men represent different world religions. They each have some of the truth, but they don't have the whole truth. You know, one guy touching the elephant says, this is like Judaism. Another says, this is like Hinduism. Another says, it's Islam, Christianity, Taoism, Buddhism, whatever. They have all these different religions. They're all just kind of groping around going, I just got a little piece of the truth, but I can't really have the whole truth. These different world religions have just part of the truth, but not the whole truth. It's been said that way as well. Now, this all can make sense. Think about it, and you realize that the entire parable fails because of what reason? The entire parable fails because that's an elephant. The people who are blindfolded are wrong. If they would take off their blindfolds, they would see it's an elephant. They would see it's not a rope, a snake, a spear, whatever. They would see it's an elephant. And the same thing is true when it comes to considering world religions. If we take off our blindfolds and look at them, we can see that they're not all the same, that they don't all lead to God, that there are major differences between them. So it's interesting, the pluralists who say all religions lead to God are the same people who are claiming that everybody's blind. Everybody's blind but the pluralist, right? The pluralist, he's looking at the entire group of blind men groping around feeling different parts of the elephant. And he says, none of you have the whole truth. You just have a little piece of the truth. And you're misperceiving that. Well, why can the pluralist see, but the religious people can't see? If the religious people would just take off their blindfolds, they would see the truth that that's an elephant. So the ironic thing is the pluralist believes everybody's blind but him. The pluralist is somebody who believes all religions lead to God, or all religions have a piece of the truth, but they don't have the whole truth. In order to see that these different world religions have a piece of the truth, but not the whole truth, the pluralist would have to see the whole truth. That's the only way you could know that. So the parable doesn't work. Also, to say that all religions lead to the same God can't be true biblically, nor can it be true logically. Let's deal with the biblical aspect of it first. To say that all religions lead to God is to contradict the entire Bible. In fact, one of the central themes of the Old Testament, of course, is that Yahweh is the only true God and Savior. There is no God but Yahweh. And in the Old Testament, over and over again, there's this continual cycle of the Israelites, after worshiping God, falling away from God and then being punished and then coming back to God. And God keeps saying, stop playing the harlot with other gods. Come back to me. I'm the only true God. In fact, in Isaiah 45:5, he says, I am the Lord. There is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I mean, if there ever was a book written to say there's only one God, it's the Bible. Now, of course, it's a collection of books, actually. We call it one book, but it's a collection of different writings over about a 1,500-year period written by about 40 different authors. And if there's ever a book that were to say there's only one God, it is the Bible. You could say, oh, the Quran talks about it too. Yeah, but the Quran doesn't have evidence behind it that it's actually true. But I'll get to that later. Okay. And of course, one of the central themes of the New Testament is that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the promised Messiah. He is the Savior. Now, we can talk about later as to what evidence there is to say that Jesus really is the only way. And we can point out that the reason Jesus is the only way is because there's only one way to that God can be just and also loving at the same time. In other words, there's only one way he can allow sinners to go unpunished and still remain just. We can get to that later. In other words, the claim that Jesus is the only way isn't an arbitrary claim. It's based in the very nature of reality, that there is justice and there's also love. And the only way to bring the two together is at the cross. But we'll get to that later. So biblically, it's wrong to say that all religions lead to God. It's also logically wrong to say that all religions lead to God, or that they all teach the same things. Now look, with regard to the coexist bumper sticker, I'm all for people from different religions coexisting. But that doesn't mean that different religions can't all be true or lead to the same God. In fact, a more accurate description of world religions is not the coexist bumper sticker, but the contradict bumper sticker. In fact, we have one at crossexamine.org. If you go to crossexamine.org and click on store, you can find it. Contradict. That's because religions have mutually exclusive, contradictory ideas of who God is and even how many gods there are. I mean, some say God is personal. Some religions say God is personal. Others say God is impersonal, such as New Age religions or pantheistic religions. Some say God made the universe, like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the theistic world religions. Other world religions say God is the universe, the pantheistic world religions. Some say there are many gods, polytheistic religions. Even Mormonism's polytheistic. Others say there's only one God, and even those who believe in one God disagree. For example, Islam says God is rigidly monotheistic, but Christianity says that God is a trinity, three persons in one divine essence. In fact, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam differ on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Of course, Christianity says that he died and rose. Judaism says he died and did not rise. And Islam says he didn't die and didn't rise. They all can't be true. They teach different things. So what is the truth? We'll get into it after the break. I'm Frank Turek. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Today we're talking about, can all religions be true? Do they lead to the same God? And later on, we'll get to your questions if you have any. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Don't touch that dial. We're back in just 2 minutes. you're low on the FM dial looking for NPR, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. That's our intent anyway. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. I guarantee you, you're not going to hear this discussion on NPR because we're talking about the fact that all religions can't lead to God, don't lead to God. They teach mutually contradictory things about God and the truth. So they can't logically all lead to the same God, nor do they all teach the same things about God. And biblically, they don't either. But let's stay on the logic point for a second. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you know what really is behind the assertion that all religions lead to God? What's really behind it is a moral claim that all religions must lead to God because God would be unfair to judge people for having false beliefs, especially people who are indoctrinated into false religions. It's really a variation of what about those that have never heard? That's really what's behind this. But we'll get to that later. Just hold that thought. To say that all religions lead to God is like saying that all roads lead to New York. It's not true. All roads don't lead to New York. In fact, most roads do not lead to New York. The old adage was something like all roads lead to Rome. All roads don't lead to Rome. The very expression designed to communicate the supposed truth that all religions lead to God, or the very analogy, is false itself. All roads don't lead to Rome. All roads don't lead to New York. In fact, all religions and all viewpoints are exclusive. If you think about this, they're exclusive. What do I mean by that? All religions make exclusive judgments. Every world religion is exclusive, not just Christianity. Sure, Christianity says that there is only one way to God, Jesus Christ. And in fact, in 1 John 5:12, it says, "He who does not have the Son does not have life." If Christianity is true, and of course I believe it is, there are two possibilities in the afterlife. You're either going to be with God or you're not going to be with God. If you're with God, you're in heaven. If you're not with God, you're separated from Him. That's hell. But Christianity gives you a choice. It's heaven or hell, ultimately. Islam also gives you a choice, but it's just as exclusive as Christianity. You're either going to get paradise or hellfire. Surah 588, a surah is a chapter in the Quran. The fifth surah, verse 88, says, "Unbelievers will be inmates of hellfire." It's just as exclusive as Christianity, but you at least have a choice. You can either be with Allah in paradise or you can be in hellfire. In Hinduism, you have no choice. Everyone is subject to the law of karma and trapped in reincarnations. Same thing is true basically of Buddhism, although some Buddhist worldviews are, or some Buddhists are atheists, but let's not get into that distinction right now. The bottom line is Hinduism, Buddhism, the pantheistic worldviews, you don't really have a choice. You're just trapped in the law of karma, or you're subject to the law of karma, and you're trapped in reincarnations. You don't really have a choice. Atheism, you don't have a choice either. Everyone will cease to exist. You just become worm food when you die. At least Christianity and Islam give you a choice. You're going to live on, and you're going to choose where you live on. Atheism, no choice. It's exclusive. Everybody becomes worm food. It's an exclusive claim. And believe it or not, the pluralist worldview is exclusive as well. The pluralist worldview, which says that all religions lead to God, everybody gets to God, the coexist bumper sticker, the pluralistic worldview, there's no choice. It's compulsory heaven for everyone. It's compulsory God for everyone. Ironically, pluralists, those who say all religions lead to God, are the biggest exclusivists of all. They say there's only one way. No one has a choice. It's compulsory heaven for everyone. It's compulsory God for everyone. Well, newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people don't want God. They've been running from God their entire lives. They want to be left alone here and in eternity. And if Christianity is true, they will be left alone. They'll be separated from God. That's what hell is. Separation. Not a nice place, by the way. Why? Because the only source of goodness and love and joy is God. Imagine being separated from that. So everybody, every worldview is exclusive. Even the people who say all religions lead to God, they're exclusive. They say anybody who disagrees with them is wrong. And they say that everybody's going to get heaven. A lot of people don't want heaven. They want to be alone. So every worldview is exclusive. Now, some will say, but don't all religions teach the same thing? Don't they teach the same thing about morality, that you ought to love one another? Well, to a certain extent, that may be true, but not completely. For example, Satanism doesn't teach that you ought to love one another. Neither does Islam, as some Muslims maintain. Not all Muslims. A minority of Muslims maintain that you don't have to love one another because these people justify jihad by the commands in the Quran, Surahs 8, Surahs 9, to kill unbelievers. And of course, the example of Muhammad as well, and much of what is written in the Hadith, the sayings and traditions, or the traditions of what Muhammad said and did. So, Satanism doesn't teach you ought to love one another. Some forms of Islam don't either. In fact, I saw the most contradictory set of bumper stickers on a car in Texas a couple of years ago. On one side of the bumper, there was the coexist bumper sticker. On the other side of the bumper was the United States Marine Corps. I thought, wait a minute. How can this be? The very fact that some world religions won't coexist with other world religions, for example, Islam won't, is the very reason we need a United States Marine Corps. And the United States Marine Corps was at the time, and still is to a certain extent, fighting the very people who can't coexist with other world religions. And it just seems contradictory to me to have both those bumper stickers on your car. Maybe, of course, there were pluralists with somebody in the Marine Corps, I guess. They just didn't think it through. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was in South Carolina. I saw a coexist bumper sticker and a clergy decal on the same car. I said, well, this must be a liberal clergy because he's not thinking it through or she's not thinking it through either. But look, even if it were true that most world religions teach that you ought to love one another, that's only one small aspect of their religion. In fact, the truth is religions superficially agree with one another, but they fundamentally disagree. It's exactly the opposite of what most people say. Most people say, oh, all religions teach basically the same thing. They just disagree on the minor things. No, it's exactly the opposite. They agree on very small aspects, superficial aspects, and they disagree on the essentials. In fact, as one writer, Steve Turner, sarcastically put it, he said, most religions teach that you ought to love one another. They only disagree on the nature of man, the nature of God, sin, salvation, heaven, hell, and creation. Yeah, outside of that, they're exactly the same. They disagree on just about everything. The nature of man, the nature of God, sin, salvation, heaven, hell, and creation. What more could you disagree over? In fact, the similar moral commands that you find in most religions don't coexist because the religions come from the same God. They coexist because morality comes from the same God. Most religions are invented by man, but the moral law is written on the hearts of every human being by the same God. So we should expect invented religions to largely disagree on their religious beliefs because they are invented by different people. But we should also expect religions to largely agree on their moral principles because the same God gives the same moral principles to all people. In other words, we should expect some people, or let me put it this way, we should expect people to express their moral beliefs in their religious writings. And since the morality part comes from God, it's basically the same. But since the religion part comes from man, it's basically different. So don't buy into this idea that all religions teach basically the same thing. It's not right logically. It's not right biblically. Now, some people say, isn't it arrogant to say that you believe you have the right religion? First of all, truth doesn't have attitude. Arrogance is an attitude. It doesn't determine truth or falsehood. You can be arrogant but right about something, just like you can be humble and wrong about something. Now, obviously, we want to be humble. We want to admit that, yeah, possibly we could be wrong. That's certainly true. But to say it's arrogant to hold a truth claim is itself self-defeating. Why? Because the people who say it's arrogant to hold a truth claim are saying it's true that it's arrogant to hold a truth claim, yet they're holding that truth claim. See? So to say that you believe the truth is arrogant is self-defeating. In fact, if the claim of arrogance means you can't possibly know that your way is the right way, then it is a self-defeating claim because the person who says you can't possibly know claims to know himself. How does that person know that you can't possibly know? He's claiming somebody is arrogant for saying something's true when he's saying it's true that it's arrogant to say you know something's true. I know this can give you intellectual constipation. Stick with me, friends. Now, the pluralist who believes all religions lead to God claims to know that all religions lead to God. At the same time, the pluralist is saying that the Christian can't know that Jesus is the only way. Wait, Mr. Pluralist, how come you can know what you believe is true, but the Christian can't know what the Christian believes is true? Now, the pluralist might say that Jesus is wrong for believing that Jesus is the only way to God. Or the pluralist might say that the Christian is wrong for believing that Jesus is the only way to God. But in fact, the pluralist is claiming that everyone who disagrees with him is wrong. The Christian, the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the atheist is wrong, according to the pluralist. Everybody is wrong but the pluralist. You see, everybody believes what they believe, and they believe that anybody who disagrees with them is wrong. That's just, even the agnostic says, well, there's not enough evidence to know. They think that everybody who says there is enough evidence is wrong. You see, you can't get away from this stuff, friends. It's logically self-defeating. So, where do we go with all this? Well, let me ask a question. If all religions do lead to God, I mean, if God is all powerful and he takes all people to heaven, then what's the point of this life? I mean, why doesn't God just skip this step? It seems like this step, this life is necessary so we can make a choice. Because God doesn't force people into his presence against their will. If you don't want God now, you're not going to want God in eternity. God gives you a choice. The question is, are you going to follow that choice? Now, if you want to join the conversation, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you want to be on the program, if you want to follow that choice, I mean, if you want to follow the truth, to make a choice, that's what I meant by that. If you want to be on the program, just call us at 589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network and the entire American Family Radio Network. Now, back in 2 minutes. Don't go away. Welcome back to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. We're talking about, can all religions lead to God? And the conclusion I'm drawing anyway is no, they can't. Logically, they teach mutually exclusive things, so they can't all be true. They can't all be right. Opposite ideas cannot both be true at the same time and in the same sense. And world religions teach opposite ideas about God and truth. And of course, biblically, they can't be leading to the same place either. If there's one theme throughout the Bible, it's that there's one God, and it's not anybody other than Yahweh and Jesus in the divine Trinity. The Trinity, of course, three persons in one divine essence. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And of course, Jesus has a human nature as well. So that is the true God, and any worldview that deviates from that is false. Now, that brings up all sorts of moral questions. In fact, as I pointed out earlier, what's really behind the assertion is a moral claim, behind the assertion that says all religions lead to God, because God would be unfair to judge people for having false beliefs, especially people who are indoctrinated into false religions. It's really a variation of what about those that have never heard? Well, first of all, you can't have a moral judgment unless there's a moral standard, an objective moral standard. So God's very nature is the moral standard. And since we all understand there is a moral truth out there, that there is a sense of justice, and God's nature is that sense of justice, God, by definition, must be fair. In fact, even the scriptures talk about this. Genesis 18, will not the judge of all the world do right? Of course he'll do right. He's the standard of rightness. Now, here's the problem. From our limited time-bound perspective, we might not always be able to see how he is fair. ultimately. But since God is the objective standard of fairness, of rightness, of justice, he must ultimately be fair. We might not always see how, but we know he is. In fact, God wants people to be saved more than we do. Now, we have an app out there, the Cross-Examined app. These questions are answered on the app, including the app, What About Those That Have Never Heard? If you haven't downloaded the Cross-Examined app, go download it. It's free. Over 81,000 people have downloaded it so far. On there is a quick answer section. And on the quick answer section, you can see under the four E's, those are the four E's, meaning the four objections that people have to Christianity. They're categorized by four E's. In other words, when you get objections to Christianity, they come in one of these four categories: evil, ethics, evolution, or eternity. Well, this is under the eternity section, under the four E's in the Cross-Examined app. Click on it. What about those that have never heard? You can get the answer there. But the point here is that, obviously, if you're going to be logical about these things, not every world religion can be true, because they teach mutually contradictory things about God and about reality. So let me get some of your comments on this. The phone lines are jammed up right now. Who's been waiting the longest? Looks like Don in Maryland. Don, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, Frank. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yes, sir.
I totally agree with you. These bumper stickers, they coexist, are totally false. They can't possibly be true.
Right.
The example is our country. I mean, the reason we're going down the way we are is because everybody wants to coexist with all these false religions.
You can coexist with false religions, Don. Let me just mention one thing. You can coexist with false religions in a community. What you can't coexist with is a false religion that wants to kill you. That's the problem. And that's why there is a war on terrorism. At least there were supposed to have a war on terrorism. But yes, obviously in our country, we have the freedom to believe different things about God and about religion. What you don't have the freedom to do is actually act on your beliefs if they're going to hurt somebody else, such as murdering them. And what I have to keep getting across to people, for some reason, people think Islam is a race. Islam is not a race. Islam is an ideology. Islam is a set of beliefs. Some of those beliefs are fine, but some of them are very harmful. And so people will say, well, people have freedom of religion. They do have freedom of religion, but they don't have a freedom to kill somebody if that's part of their religion. So there's a limit to this. I mean, let me just point out, murder is unconstitutional, okay? There's a limit to your ability to practice your religion if your religion calls on you to kill unbelievers. I'm sorry, Don, go right ahead. Had to say that.
I said actually our Constitution enables us to close down mosques and deport the Islamics out. Because they're going against our Constitution and our country. They're trying
to
destroy it.
Yes, it does. You are correct about that, that there is a balancing test you have to make here. Yes, people have freedom of religion, but if they're in a mosque and they're urging other people or urging their people to go out and kill Americans or kill unbelievers, then obviously the government can step in and say, no, that's not going to happen on this soil. In fact, France is doing that right now. I don't know if you noticed that they've closed down three militant mosques in Paris. Now, I need to keep pointing out, this is not true of all mosques or all Muslims, obviously. But you have to make these distinctions now in today's politically correct environment, because people say you're indicting everybody who claims to be a Muslim. No, I'm not. I'm saying that there are obviously some mosques and some Muslims who believe in this. And if that's the case, you don't have the practice or you don't have the freedom to practice that in this country or anywhere. Thanks for the call, Don. I got to keep moving. Let me move on to Jerry in Ohio. Jerry, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm great, sir, but I'll get better. How about you?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm driving a truck right now. I hope you can hear me. I'm down in Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I'd like to make a comment that all religions do not lead to God. Sorry to have to say that to people, but in the same essence as God's Word, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And I know, of course, different religions, some of them preach this. When you take and make three gods, there is only one God, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Absolutely, Jerry, yes. And I mentioned that at the top of the program, that biblically it's obviously wrong that all religions lead to God. And also logically it's wrong because they teach mutually contradictory things about God and about the nature of reality. So they can't all be true. But the other point that we need to make is all world religions and all viewpoints exclude their opposites. Even atheists exclude the opposite worldview that says, well, there is a God. So that's an exclusionary worldview. Every worldview is exclusionary. The only question is which worldview is true. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Let me move on to, let's see, Sam's been waiting the longest in Pennsylvania. Sam, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Hello, Frank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Concerning the post you put up on Twitter, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to agree with the previous callers, and I'm going to say no. All religions don't lead to God. Reason being, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there, John 14, verse 6, when Jesus clearly stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, you've got religions out there that go and say that God can lie to people. You have religions out there that go and say that there is no sin nature. And it's just like you said, when you have all these, when you have all these mutually contradictory religions out there, you know, it, for an average Joe Schmo, it's kind of hard to decide what's what. But see, here's the best part, though. Christianity, if you look at it, works in reverse. And what I mean by that is this. Whereas in world religions, you have man searching for God, Christianity is different in that God, being man, Christ Jesus, came down to search for us. And therein lies the difference. He started with Israel, and then from there, we move on into Acts, and we move on into us Gentiles receiving the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Sam. In fact, I was going to say that in the last segment, that is exactly the case, whereas world religions are trying to work their way to God. Christianity, God works his way to man. God does all the work. We just accept the free gift. All religions out there are do this, do that, do this, do, 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 do. But Christianity is, it's done. It's done, 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 done. All you need to do is accept it. And then if you accept it and Jesus comes into your life, he will change the way you think about reality. And out of gratitude for what he's done for, for what he's done for us, you will, or what he's done for you, you will want to pass on that love to others. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not a set of rules and regulations that you have to follow. And if you follow them, you follow a majority of them, you're in. If you follow a minority of them, you're out. No, it's not like other world religions. God does all the work. So that's well said, Sam. Thank you so much. If you'd like to join the program, call us at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Our question today is, do all religions lead to God? We've been dealing with that question here. And let me move on now to Roderick in Arkansas. Roderick, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning, Frank.
Rod, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead, sir.
Sorry about that. I had a question. I was wondering about why is it so hard to get the people who's running this country to run it in God's way? Like, why is it always a compromise when it comes to running a country the way it's supposed to be run, under the Christian values? I want to know your opinion on that. Why do you think it's so hard to...
Yeah, excellent question, Rod. I think probably because men love darkness rather than light, and we want to do things our way rather than God's way. And it's not just true in this country, Rod. As you know, this has been the case with Israel, too. I mean, Israel had the same problem. They had seen God work directly in their country's history, and yet they still rejected God. They still went on this cycle that went over and over again, where they're with God and they're prosperous, and then they begin to get prideful and they start forgetting about God, going their own way, and then there's a calamity and they come back in repentance, and then the cycle repeats itself. And that's what appears to be happening in our country now. And if you're frustrated with the leadership in our country, as I am, the real p- people that are responsible for the leadership that we have are the people who go to church, because the church could determine who gets in the office every time, but the church hasn't been engaged. The church hasn't been involved. The church has decided that it's just going to be more concerned about prosperity and just doing whatever it wants to do rather than doing the hard work of defending the truth and doing what's right. So really, we're the problem, Rod. But I appreciate the call. We're coming up to a break. If you'd like to join the program, 888-589-8840. Can all religions lead to God? Do all religions lead to God? Turns out they don't. They can't. Not biblically, not logically. Turns out that people who say all religions lead to God are just as exclusive as everybody else. They're saying they're right and everybody else is wrong. So you can't get away from it. I'm back in just 2 minutes. Frank Turek with you. See you in two. Don't go away. Merry Christmas, everyone. We're coming up on the season here. Well, according to the retailers, we've been in the season since August. But right now, it's coming up here. We're getting less than 2 weeks away to celebrate the birth of the Savior who added human flesh over his deity to come and save us. In fact, that's why Jesus is the only way. We're celebrating the fact that he's the only way, because there's no other way to reconcile God's justice and love unless God punishes an innocent substitute in our place. Otherwise, we're all doomed, ladies and gentlemen. We're all on our way to hell, separation from God, because if God is just, we deserve separation from him. Now, actually, in one sense, religions can lead you to the true God. All religions can. Why? Because after you try them out, you realize you can't live up to the demands of any religion, that they're empty, that they can't atone for your sins. In fact, as I mentioned before, and as Sam brought up, that's the biggest difference between all religions and Christianity. In other religions, people are attempting to work their way to God. Do this, do that, do. In Christianity, we don't work our way to God. God works his way to us. He comes down from heaven, adds humanity over his deity. That's why we celebrate Christmas, and he does everything for us. So other religions are do. Christianity's done. All you got to do is accept it. Why wouldn't you accept it? The creator of the universe put on human flesh to save the very creatures who rebelled against him? Wow! That's why it's the greatest story ever told. Imagine that. Imagine! The creator of all things comes to earth and allows the creatures he created who rebelled against him to torture him and kill him in his human flesh so he could save them. What an amazing God. All right, let's go to Terry in Texas. Terry, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, ma'am. Terry, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Terry, on. Go ahead.
Sorry. Thank you for the blessing of what you do, brother. We celebrate our Lord Jesus this season. I appreciate what you do on Saturday mornings on AFR.
Oh, thanks, Terry.
I am dealing with a Unitarian minister, and he's misquoted Greek meanings, such as the way and the truth and the life. He said that that applies to, it means Yahweh, that it was in the second person. I've had an ongoing dialogue with him, and what we keep coming back to pretty much is Romans chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, where it talks about how the Gentiles who don't have the law instinctively do the law, what the law demands.
Mm-hmm.
Their consciences testify that their law is written on their hearts, and that
right.
God judges them according to that. I don't have your app, and I have a dumb phone, so I can't get it, but I need a silver bullet, something I can bring up in relation to this scripture so that I can show that there is, you know, it isn't relevant.
Well, look at the entire context of the passage. In Romans chapter 1, he says that we suppress the truth and unrighteousness to go our own way. In Romans chapter 2, he says, while all people do know right from wrong and will be judged according to what they know, they all fall short, Romans chapter 3. There is none that live up to the law. That's the whole point. Paul is going on a progression from the fact that all humanity's doomed. They all know, in chapter 2, what the right thing to do is. And in chapter 3, nobody does what's right. And so when you get to chapter 3, verse 21, he says, but now there's a righteousness that comes not from obeying the law, but comes from Jesus himself. comes from trusting in him. And you get to Romans 3:26. I don't have it in front of me right now, but 3:26, he says that God is the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The only way to justify sinful people is to put the punishment on somebody else, and that's Jesus. That's the way Jesus can remain, or God can remain just, while he's also the justifier of those who are sinful. So the silver bullet here is, I think, is Romans chapter 3, verse 21, because it says none are going to be justified by the law. Or in 3:20, he says that. In 3:21, he says, but there is a righteousness that comes apart from the law. So I would also point out the deity of Christ, Terry, with a Unitarian. I would say, well, if Jesus never claimed to be God, then why did they kill him? I mean, did he get killed for skipping around saying, love your neighbor? I don't think you get killed for saying that. Or bless those who persecute you, or pray for your enemies. That doesn't get you killed. What gets you killed is claiming to be God, because that was blasphemy to the Jews and sedition to the Romans. So if you look at, say, John 8:58, when he says, before Abraham was born, I am, that's who he's claiming to be. He's claiming to be Yahweh. That's why they picked up stones to stone him. So the deity of Christ, I think, is well established. We also have a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. I don't know if you have that book. You can get it off our website, crossexamine.org. You can get a Kindle version of it at Amazon, whatever you want to do. And there's an entire chapter in there on the deity of Christ.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Terry. And God bless you, what you're doing. Keep doing it. Keep talking to people. Let me move on to Melissa in Virginia. Melissa, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Hi. And the last caller, I would just say get out of that Unitarian church, but that's my own comment.
Yeah, well, I don't know if she's going to the church or she's just talking to somebody in the church. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how do you prove faith in Christ alone to someone who is super intelligent, like a nuclear physicist, mm-hmm. who believes and admits that there must be a being or a creator out there somewhere? And due to his knowledge, he digests things like Scientific American, and he, you know, I can't explain it to him, and he just can't see it. But his wife is one of those people that you're talking about today. She believes God is everyone's God, and the husband he clings to a Bible. He has a New Testament and a Bible by his bed, but he says, I envy your faith. But he just doesn't understand that faith is something that it's when you see Christ, he speaks to your heart. It's mm-hmm. identified. And I don't know if the fact is that he's put himself in an isolation where he doesn't, he's not surrounded by anything that is the Word of God. So he's never hearing the Word of God. I'm only there very, very rarely, so I never get to witness.
It seems, Melissa, that he's open, though. He's open to this, and the newest book that we just put out is called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And in there, there's a chapter on science he may find very intriguing, because if he's reading Scientific American, he probably thinks, well, science is atheistic. But the point of the chapter points out that science doesn't say anything scientists do. You see, there'd be no science, or there'd be no scientific conclusions unless there were scientists. And quite frequently, the people at Scientific American are coming to their scientific conclusions based on their philosophical atheism, not based on the fact that they're open to the fact that there might be a God. They've already philosophically ruled God out. So that's the reason they come to these atheistic conclusions. It's not a matter of the evidence. It's a matter of their philosophical presupposition. But if you point out to him that science is neutral when it comes to the issue of God, because science is just a method we use to try and discover cause and effect relationships inside the world. It can't tell us anything about whether or not there's someone outside the world. The only thing science can do is it can give us premises in an argument that may point to God. For example, we can look at the scientific evidence that the universe had a beginning. Well, that evidence can be put into a premise that says, if everything that comes to exist has a cause, the universe began to exist, therefore the universe had a cause. That second premise, the universe began to exist, we can use science to try and discover that. And when we use science, we discover the universe did have a beginning, then we're going to say, well, who is the beginner? Science can't tell you who the beginner is. The science can just tell you that the universe had a beginning. Then you've got to philosophically say, well, if space, time, and matter had a beginning, the cause must be spaceless, timeless, and immaterial. In other words, it can't be made of space, time, or matter. So that's how science can help us discover there's a God. Science can help us discover the effect, and when we look at the effect, we can point back and say, ah, the cause must be God. Does that make sense?
It does. It sounds a little complicated to me. I just want to help his faith grow.
Well, ask him, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? If he says yes, get him the book, Stealing from God, how atheists or why atheists need God to make their case. That would probably be the best book he could read at this point from our ministry anyway.
I certainly will. I told him when I was speaking to him yesterday, I said, you know, you're just like a camel. And he looked at me and I said, you will never fit through the eye of a needle. And I just think his intelligence is so, you know, deep. And he's relating everything in the world. And yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. You can ask him is say, why are there reasons at all? Why is there intelligence at all? Where does reason come from? Reason comes from a source that must be a mind. One of the aspects of God, one of the attributes of God, obviously, is he's intelligent. He is the source of intelligence. He is all knowledge. So the very fact that he thinks there are reasons potentially against God shows that there must be a standard of reason, which is God. So they're using God to argue against him. That's why the book is called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case.
I love it. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Melissa, and thanks for what you're doing. Also, download the app, because a lot of the questions are in the app, the Cross-Examined app. Two words in the App Store, Cross-Examined.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Melissa. Friends, I wish I had more time for calls, but I don't, because we're coming up on the end of the show here. But we'll pick this up again next week. In fact, next week, I'm going to ask the question. Over Christmas dinner, obviously, you're going to be interacting with family and friends who are non-Christians, and at least many of you will be. What do they believe? And how are you going to interact with them? I mean, they might not be Muslims or Hindus, but they might be selfies. That's my new term for people who invent their own religion. Selfies. The religion of self. The religion of me. The religion of sex. How are you going to reach out to them? What are you going to say to them? How are you going to seed the conversation? How are you going to minister to them? That's what we're going to talk about next week, just before Christmas, so you'll be ready. So you don't want to miss that program, okay? So we'll talk more about that on next week's show. And in the meantime, if you want more on Can All Religions Lead to God, get the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, or Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. By the way, great Christmas gifts, right? Why not give them the gift of truth? If you're struggling for a gift, pick up I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, or Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Great being with you, friends. I'm Frank Turek. See you next week, and check out our website, crossexamined.org. God bless you.